One thing that I learned in secondary school is how to be a hustler.
I think I have wicked tendencies, but I'm not wicked.
You're always saying bad energy stay far away, but
bad energy stay far away, but you're the bad energy.
I dare you to lick in Kechi's pants.
You guys don't know I have brain. I have brain.
First of all, nobody asked. Second of all, your outfit is actually trash and we don't care.
The only time I'm on my knees is, well, that's classified.
Chidera, this is a family channel.
I hope my mother isn't listening to this podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Care Package. It's episode 65, and today we're bringing you a guest, so I'll just allow him to introduce himself.
Shout out to you guys for having me. Nice to be here. My name is Bunye Wizu. I go to Loughborough University. I'm doing a lot right now. I finish uni in a month. So looking forward to it. I mean, I guess you guys find out more about me as the episode goes on.
That's so crazy. So Vinny is kind of here to kind of talk through his uni journey, how he got into uni and the few years before. And this episode might be a bit inspirational. So that you guys, that if you're going through it now, just listen to this episode. You understand, because if you see Vinny now doing things. Just before we even get into Vinny's story, I just wanted to clarify for people who don't really understand the UK system. So secondary school is like, I think primary school is kind of the same for everybody everywhere. So after primary school, you have secondary school for 5 years. That's where you do these exams called IGCSEs at the end. I think year 11 is the equivalent to 10th grade in America.
Yeah. There's one.
And then the last 2 years after that are your last 2 years before university. So that's year 12 and year 13. And those are where you write, at the end, you write this exam called A-levels, and you pick your A-levels based on what kind of thing you want to study at uni. And so in America, that's your equivalent to 11th and 12th grade, so your last 2 years before uni. Bunye went to an A-level school. I think you actually started there from secondary and then stayed on to A-levels at a school in the UK. So just kind of tell us, you know, how did you start that school? You know,
So for my GCSEs, I think I've always been science inclined. So I've been science! Surrounded by LMAO. So I grew up, my dad's an engineer, my granddad's an engineer, my mom's only, like, they're only two. So my uncle, who I'm really close to, is an engineer as well. So I grew up around engineers, right? And I've always wanted to build, like, even when I was a kid, like, to play, find out how this works, find out how that works. You get what I mean?
So that's such a cliche story of, I want to be an engineer. Oh, I want to build. Did you have Legos?
I guess you have Legos. It might sound cliche, but I guess it's that's just what it is. You get what I mean? Like, and more, not even more so like building. Like, building was an aspect for me, but like, I guess I'll pinpoint it at the fact that, like, on the fact that I'm curious to learn how things work. And as I said, I was surrounded by engineers growing up. So I guess the influence, sort of influences here and there, you get, especially from my dad. So my mom will come out and say, do what you want to do, do what you love, do what you're passionate about. Don't do because daddy says you should do. You get what I mean? Like, well, you know, my dad would come with an engineering degree gives you, like, open a lot of doors for you, that kind of thing. Like, so subtle influences here and there. You know, kids are really impressionable. So, yeah, by the time you pick up a few things, my dad would go to site, he would take me along. My dad runs a power generation company. So he would go to site, he would take me along. That kind of thing. Take my brother and I. And I guess, like, I'll see stuff like that and be like, okay, cool, this is cool. Like, that's cool. Like, even the subjects I learned in school, the subjects I liked, math, physics, that kind of thing, right? So going to A-levels, I picked math, chemistry, physics, right? Because
chemistry that you were banging before, you had to come back and meet it.
But that's
and
the thing, physics, you know, too. But the thing, like, my journey with chemistry, I think I was banging chemistry because I'd never done it before, fresh out of the night, and my teacher wasn't particularly good. So I started doing private lessons, like, at home. Even in school, I'll be doing lessons over Skype. Chemistry with my has GCSE.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. My high GCSE, picked maths, chemistry, physics, and going into A-levels, I was pretty, like, confident. I was like, okay, cool.
Is that
this is it. And I want to be an engineer. I'd set my target schools, them Imperial. I didn't want to do Oxbridge because I was like, okay, cool. I've heard a lot about Oxbridge and it doesn't seem like, because I always had in my head, like my view of uni in my head was cool. I want to go to a good uni, but then my social life has to be still there. You get like, I like to go out, I like to play, I like to do sports.
I mean, it's part of the uni experience.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I don't want to be in a place where I'm just book. Like, I feel like it'll strip me of my personality.
Yeah.
So I always had that in my head that, okay, London, what if I can land London? London was good to, you get what I mean? Because I'm used to London, like, we've got a place there. I'm sure a lot of my friends are applying to London schools or had aspirations of applying to London schools. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, I set my sights, Imperial.
The whole game is going to be London. So,
yeah. Then the A-levels now actually started. And I was like, for some reason, like, I was just struggling with school. Like, I mean, initial phases, right? Like, that's when you're still doing introductory stuff. You're learning, kind like, they're literally trying to bridge the gap between GCSEs and the subjects you're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't too bad. But when you now have the actual jump into A-level content, the jump between GCSEs and A-level, I don't
even actually have a headache.
It is crazy. Like, that's still, I would say, like, now, in my opinion, for people listening and people who are still in, like, A-levels, right, I feel like the jump from GCSEs to A-levels is a bigger jump from than the jump from A-levels to uni.
Right? I do agree with you. And so, one thing, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but one thing I didn't like about my school is that they didn't set that expectation. Like, everybody was like, yeah, I'm going to go to Stonyhurst, because Stonyhurst going up to year 13. So everyone was like, oh, I'm going to be my guys. I'm going to do A-levels.
The thing is that for me, people set the expectation, but I was like, this people, they don't do no book now. Three subjects that are fixed. Don't worry. I can't do this, but.
Nah,
I think A-level math was the time I knew, I'm in trouble.
I can't lie. My own experience, like, excuse me, no one really, like, sets the expectation for me. And I had friends in, like, older years. My sister is a year older than me, so I'd assume, okay, cool. When I was writing my GCSE, she was doing her AS levels. So, like, my sister is sharp. Like, my sister is one of those you get.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not coming to that. And I, so, it was kind of like, nobody really told me about, the jump is crazy or the jump is this. Like, we never really had, in my recollection, like, I never really had any of those convos. I have a lot of, like, friends in older years who were in Concord as well, but, like, as I said, like, we never really had any of those convos. It was your normal what school is saying, okay, school is tough, but, like, you get tough times in school, like, at any level, you get me?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so when we now actually got into A-level content, I just found that I was struggling. And, like, in Concord, we used to do tests every Saturday.
You say what?
Every Saturday morning.
We were playing Concord schools.
Every Saturday morning. When I say Concord was a results hub, like, they are just the results machine. Like, we're just machines there. You get, they just want to pump out the best results out of us. You get. So we used to have tests every, and to be fair, it helped because, like, I guess that's part of your revision process. We dreaded it then. We said we didn't want it then. But, like, in hindsight, I'd say it was actually good. So, yeah, at GCSE, you start at 9 a.m. Do you get what I mean? It's 9 a.m. Saturday morning. You're meant to be on your desk as we're ready to start writing.
I don't understand. I just don't understand. Anyway, carry on.
But, like, with A-levels, depending on your subjects, you have different times, so you can start at 9, maybe start at 10.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that kind of system. And yeah, we used to have tests every Saturday, and you'd have content during the week or the 2 weeks before you're tested on that topic and on that subject and the contents within that subject. And in my head, I'm like, well, cool, like, I've grabbed this, like, I get that. And I've done my prep for the test, so it's not like I wasn't working hard. Like, obviously, I had to up my game. A-levels, because I'd seen, okay, cool, this is not GCSE, you can't just coast through school anymore. And my results were just not coming out how I expected them to come out. I'm like, come, like, I'm not daft. Like, I actually coached them through school. You get, like,
yeah, and this was the method you're using before I was working. So now it's like,
and you get, like, so now I'm like, I've now upped my game, right? And the results are not anywhere near what they're supposed to be. Like, and I just couldn't, like, first of all, it's quite, like, damaging for your morale, like, your confidence, right? And you now start having, like, a lot of self-doubt. Do you know what I mean? And that's where things kind of, like, turned really dark for me, like, in A-levels. Because, yeah, this was happening throughout the year, and it was kind of, yeah, a bit low on confidence, but, like, wait, cool, like, mocks are coming. I do okay in my mocks. And I actually did okay in my mocks, right? And then, thankfully, thank God, we did, a lot of schools stopped doing AS exams, but in Concord, we still had to write AS exams.
Hmm.
Even though, like, unis didn't particularly look at it anymore. Mm-hmm. But in Concord, they used it for our predictions. So I've gone through this whole first day of A-levels journey. My results are coming back. You know how Nigerian, your dad is in Naira.
Exchange rate is even more. And at that point, the exchange rate is doing...
Exchange rate when I came to school, UK was 240, I think. And wow, I mean, we know where...
Look at
we
the story like, now.
Yeah, we know where we are now. So at that point, it was still rising. I was getting pressure from home, like, why are you playing in school? That kind of thing, like, you need to sit up, blah, blah. I'm not paying this much. You know how it is now. You guys know how it goes. So... yeah, I was getting all that, and in my head, and I'm saying, like, and thankfully I have really understanding parents. I have parents I can, like, really speak to and be open with. So I was telling them, like, especially my dad, I said, I'm trying my best, like, I'm doing my best, but I can't explain what's happening. And at the time, I wouldn't say my dad personally understood. I think I would say, like, he was, if I remember properly, like, I don't actually think initially, my mom, I think both of them were on the same page in the sense that they thought I was just messing around in school, like, mm-hmm. and I wasn't really putting in the work. Yeah. This is from my perspective, they might think different. But, like, so that's what it was at the time. So the AS levels at Concord, they used it for a prediction. And I do my AS levels, right? And the results come out around that August time,
mm-hmm.
I open my results. And I am physically sick. Like, I'm physically sick. Like, I'm about to throw up. Like, I open it in front of my mom and my sister.
Hello.
And I rush out of the room. I'm about to throw up. Like, I'm like, that was, I think that's one of the darkest days, like, I've ever experienced to date. And, like, I remember vividly. So it's kind of like, at that point, I lose all my sense of direction because I'm like, as I said before, I set my target schools. This is where I want to go, blah, blah, blah. This is what I want to do. I want to be an engineer, or I want to study engineering. I don't know if I'm particularly going to practice for my whole, like, career, but at least I had aspirations of studying engineering, maybe getting experience London in the field, that kind of thing, all the London unis and stuff. At that point, all that in my head is gone. I don't know what I want to do again. I'm like, is this really for me? Like, I'm doing engineering subjects, see the scores I'm getting, like, you get what I mean? My mates are celebrating, these are blowing up, blah, blah. So it's kind of like, at that point, I was like, wow, where do we go from here? You know what I'm saying? Where do you go from here? And I remember being on the phone with my dad on the day and saying, just as she complained and whining, I was like, I don't want to be an engineer again. I don't want to change schools, blah, 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 blah. And my dad stopped for like 2 minutes. The call was silent. And he said, And that was it. You know how it was that, like, don't go and do the one that you end up hungry, that kind of thing. So it's kind of like...
Wait, so when you were saying to him about, you don't know if you still want to study engineering, what were you now saying you want to study instead?
I was thinking something business related, like, because I've always been half and half. So, like, my first kind of glimpse into any business related subject was GCSE economics. And I actually loved that. And I did, like, my grades were actually pretty good. So it was something like I could pick up quite easily. And I had a, like, kind of knack for, right? So it was something business related. So I started exploring, like, looking at different, this is all on results deal. my solo results day. That was just happening. So I started looking at different courses. I mean, like, I want to change my school. I don't think I was to be in this school anymore. I'm literally saying I had no sense of, I was spiraling, like, simply put, I was spiraling, right? And she, my mom was there with me, thankfully. My dad was in Nigeria at the time. So obviously the big decisions we had to make as a family, my mom was like, oh, if I want to change schools, I've got time on my side, I'm young, that I can redo the year, change my subjects, maybe pick some as another thing I like. Don't have to be engineering, as she said, like, do the one you like. And so yeah, after I had time to calm down, I'd spoken to my uncle, who I said earlier, my mom's brother, who I'm really close to. I'm doing engineering as well. So he talked to me and kind of was like, we should have had a pretty deep conversation, like a heart-to-heart. And at that point, I'd calmed down. So it's kind of like, okay, cool. I was just saying that in the moment, like, I'm actually still science inclined. Like, if you're science inclined, you can't just snap your fingers and not
be science inclined. Business.
Yeah. I guess you can do that, but like, if you're inclined to something, you're inclined to something, if that makes sense.
Wait, so yeah, I get that. I'm sorry, I was just gonna ask. So if you were planning on doing something business related and you're like, oh, you've always enjoyed economics, so at that point, were you not gonna pick up economics or
what were you gonna pick? I guess if you're saying in terms of changing subjects, mm-hmm. I'd have probably picked the concept. I did at GCSEs, so I could have picked it for A levels. And obviously math, right? My math wasn't like, I'm good at math. I'm decent at math. Let me not say I'm good, because you the good guys come now. So I'm decent at math. So subjects around like that space. Yeah. And so after settling down, worst day of my life, right? At the time, after settling down, I was like, okay, cool. Like, I can still take the engineering route. I just have to rethink like choices in terms of like unis. Like, if I don't go to UD in Imperial or Oxford, Cambridge, UCL, it's not the be all, it's not the end all. There are other unis in the UK, right? And yeah, it was then, what next? Do I now stay in my school? Do I stay at Concord? Do I not stay at Concord? Ended up deciding to stay at Concord, right? And from there, my family now.
What helped you make that decision?
I guess sitting down with my parents and just looking, I look at their track record, like for A levels, like, as I said, I will keep seeing it. Their results,
their results hub, like, that's the place I was going to give you your best. So,
yeah, it was kind of like that, as well as you're catered to, you get. If you need additional support, I guess in some cases they would help. And they kind of seemed to want to do everything to help me get out of that space, right?
That's really good. So it wasn't a smart school where they're like, if you're not smart, then you are a failure.
It
so
was like that to an extent, right? I wouldn't say they would openly say you're a failure or condemn you, that kind of thing. But like the kind of vibe you'd get was like that to an extent. I would say, how do I put it? Like, I would say, this is a tough dynamic to kind of describe. Like,
yeah.
I guess the sharp guys got more of the attention, right? The sharp, because my school was 70% Asian. Like, everybody was on their horse, everyone was on their grind. So you get like
the Asians.
Yeah, so you kind of get, if you weren't doing so well or you were struggling, you get that extra support. But I feel like, this is from my perspective, people who wear might feel different, but like, you wouldn't, at some point, you find that you have to fend for yourself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of dynamic like I faced, right? But yeah, I guess, and another thing is, for having a fresh start might even be more difficult. You have to make friends again. Yeah. You're further away from home, further away from familiar faces, that kind of thing. So, and my mom was particular about me going to a proper A-level school rather than a college. So a college is just sixth form. A lot of the time you'll be in town, like in a town. So all them Westminster, Abbey College. She was like, I know if my son goes there now, that I will not focus. You go there, that kind of thing. So my mom just wanted us to have that like grounding, like you're in a proper school, it's structured, it's regimented, everything. And my dad was in agreement. So what we now came to was, I'll go back to Concord, A2. I didn't repeat the year. And I wouldn't use my we had agreed with the school that I wouldn't use my AS grade as my predictions, because at that point, I don't know if I'll be uni right
you
now.
You go to school at all, honestly.
You get what I mean? So, yeah, but what now happened was I became a day student. So as I said, like, thankfully, I'm grateful for my parents. They are quite understanding, always willing to help. They want to get the best out of their kids. And it's like that with, I've got two siblings, an older sister and a younger brother. It's been like that with all of us. So my dad actually got a place in Shrewsbury for a while. He was renting a place in Shrewsbury, and my mom was actually with me. Because it was now a thing of, as I said, like, they thought I was in school playing.
Playing, they want to be seeing you.
Kind of, let me be seeing you do, as in, let me see what's going on. Mm-hmm. So my mom was in Shrewsbury, week in, week out. She'd go back to Nige. So that kind of thing. So when she's in Nige, I'd be a boarder, right? Because I still had my room in school. But when she was in the UK in Shrewsbury, I'd be a day student. So that's kind of when the pressure now hits fully, because, yeah, as I said, my mom was there for support, that kind of thing. At the time, she now started seeing that, okay, come, this boy is actually not playing, like, this boy is putting in his best. Results are still not, and it too doesn't change. You still have Saturday tests every week or most weeks. And yeah, the results were just not, and this is the first term of A2, the results were not. And how, I'll backtrack after I finish my sentence. So, like, I was still not doing well. And by this time, I hadn't even moved into the yard that was being rented in Shrewsbury. I was still a boarder. This is early days, like beginning of A2. And there was this day, this night, I just left the library. I go back into my room and I'm crying. I just break down and I lock my door. I was the type of guy, like, thankfully I've gotten better. Like, if I'm feeling some type of way, it's locked up in me. Nobody is hearing about it. Like, yeah, I have to get to by myself, or yeah, I just wouldn't speak about it, right? So I was just crying in my room. And they do this, like, obviously, because we're minors at the time.
The room check.
Yeah, the room check. And so my house parents, her name is Miss Purvis, lovely lady. So my house parent for 2 years. She knocked on my door. I didn't even think I heard the knock. Like, I was just drinking all over the place. Like, I don't even think I heard the knock. And she opens my door and she just walks in and she's crying, red eyes, tears, everything. Oh. And she's like, am I okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. Blah, blah, I'm cleaning my eyes. You're not going to report. So, yeah, I'm cleaning my eyes. I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. Like, I'm okay. Nothing to worry about. She says it's cool. I said it's cool. But as in, I'll be cool, that kind of thing. And yeah, I now call my mom. These are my lowest. Like, I call my mom, I'm crying. And she can't even hear me speak. Like, I can't even put together a sentence. And she's like, what's the issue? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. It's still not working. Like, the results are still not, like, it's just not what it's meant to be. Do you get what I mean? Like, at that point, I've lost confidence in myself. I'm like, there's a lot of self-doubt. As I said, this is meant to be the term that I used to kind of rejig my grades and, like, get better, like, yeah, predictions, yeah, for uni. Because you know how there's early UCAS and UCAS close in January?
Yeah, so that, like, well, that
I wasn't sending with my peers. Like, my application didn't go out with my peers. Do you get what I mean? So, to be fair, like, yeah, that was, I would say, really, that was my lowest.
In that moment, did you realize that that was your lowest? Like, did you know in that moment, okay, I'm probably depressed, this is my lowest point, or you just...
I would say I told myself, or it dawned on me that I was depressed, but therefore, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, this hasn't happened before, this is my lowest.
Yeah. I love how, when you say this is my lowest, they're laughing, life is good now, because not yet. You couldn't have laughed like this.
I'm sure at the time I was probably thinking, okay, cool, like, I know what I went through, like, when I saw my AS results. That's good. That's about what, a month ago, because you get your results in August, school starts in September. Yeah. Like, that was a month ago, cool. Fresh beginnings, everything. And I'm like, no, this is a lot, like, this is lower than that. Like, I feel a lot worse than how I felt like when I saw my AS results now. Cause I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Do you get? I know I'm not daft. Like, I know, like, I'm not. You get, as in, I know I'm teachable, I know I'm doing my best to learn, but it just wasn't working out. So at that point, my mom kind of then kind of accelerated her plans to move to Shrewsbury, right? Because I mean, if your kid calls you, it's nice, just crying. Can you get me? So,
especially mommies and their boys, they will run.
My mom, my sister too. So my sister hadn't started uni. She was just about going to uni. Uni starts beginning of October. So my sister even came with her. So my sister was there when I even called herself. So yeah, thank you God for your supportive family. Shout out to my family. Like my supportive family. Shout out to my sister, shout out to my mom, shout out to my dad, shout out to my brother. So yeah,
like you forgot one uncle there.
That's it. LMU. So yeah, my mom accelerated her timeline in terms of like moving to Shrewsbury.
Mm-hmm.
So she did, and then she could now see for herself that, okay, this boy is actually working in school, blah, blah. Because my life, when I deeped out depressed, right, was kind of actually backtracking. When my house parents saw me in my room, she actually reported to the school administration. I'm glad she did, because
you have such,
I mean, if you don't get help, it's kind of, they even reached out to my mom as well. So they sent my mom an email, but I'd reached out to my mom already, so she already knew the situation. The email was just confirming, you get, okay, stuff, as in there's something going on, you get what I mean? Sent my mom an email saying that, look, I'm going through some stuff. I actually haven't seen that email to date, but they told me, like, administration told me what the email was about. They suggested I start therapy. And there was a therapist in school, which was a pretty good guy. I can't remember his name. So I had sessions with the guy. I guess that helped a bit. That helped. But yeah, at home, like my life was literally, I go to school in the morning. My mom drops me off at school. I go back home. I'm working. When I'm not working, I'm sleeping. I was gaining weight. I stopped doing stuff I love. Like I wasn't even playing sports as much. I mean, I would still play ball. Like I was in school. Like ball was my getaway. Mm-hmm. And some days I didn't even want to play. I was on the team. Like some days I want to go for games, that kind of thing. Like, so my personality was being stripped away from me. Like, as in, did you get, like, I was losing my personality. Like, and what was crazy was I would have to wake up in the morning, go to school and put on a smile, like as if everything is okay, and just try and be myself. So, because
yeah,
I didn't want to get too many questions. You get what I mean, bro? What's going on? That kind of thing. Like, why you know you bored anymore? Why do you bored sometimes? Why don't you bored as in sometimes? So,
yeah. Well, like, I mean, because people can see your day, you're gonna get those questions anyway. So, how did you not answer?
I can't remember what I used to say. I just say, oh, my ears wasn't too good or whatnot. So, guy, I'll keep it short and sweet. I can keep on doing what I'm doing. I never capped about my situation, but like, I just made it clear, like, you know, the kind of energy somebody would give you, I don't want to talk about this.
Don't want to ask any more questions.
Don't be asking me cues. Like, that's the kind of energy I was giving guys. I mean, my close friends kind of knew the situation. Mm-hmm. Say, Debola, at the time, Fola, all them lords. My guys from Concord, shout out to them.
We're just gonna shout out the whole of Nigeria.
So yeah, I think they kind of knew. I won't even say they knew the full story. They knew what going with AS. But like they knew a bit, that, but I won't say I fully opened up to them, if that makes sense. I didn't even fully open up to my parents. Do you get, as I said, like, so as a type that
do you think is the therapy that kind of helped you learn to open up? Well, at what point did you start being better at opening up?
I'd say therapy played a big part. Also, my mom, she's just like, how do I put it? She's one of them, like, I won't say she pushes you like in an aggressive manner in the sense that, oh, tell me what's going on, blah, blah. Just keeps probing. And you see that at some point, like, I was helpless at some point. Like, I had to talk. If not, I'd have just exploded. And that's what I've actually, like, kind of learned. I'm still working on, like, I mean, you live and you grow. Like, yeah, that's the journey, mm-hmm, right? So, you're not going to be perfect at anything. So, it's still a learning process for me. I'm a lot better than I was then. But what I realized is if you just bottle up your feelings, especially with, like, people close to you, people you love, like, even if they've offended you, that kind of thing, like, someday you're just going to snap. Like, you're just going to explode. Mm-hmm. And that's not good for anybody. It's not even good for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And did loads of people know you were in therapy? Or is that also something that you kept?
I don't think anyone knew.
Oh, wow.
At the time I was in therapy, I don't think anyone knew. I think just my mom, obviously my dad. Mm. Yeah. I don't even know if my siblings knew. I don't think my siblings knew. So yeah, people didn't know I was in therapy. I was going through, alone. Till like obviously, there was a day my mom was driving me to school and I was woke up, and I'm not a morning person either. So combine all these. My mom was driving me to school and I was just in a bad mood. I don't know. And she was asking me what's going on. That was the issue. How can I just wake up and I'm in a bad mood, blah, blah, and I just broke out crying. Like, big man like me, I've cried maybe 3 times. So she started crying. And I think at that point, that's when she realized, yeah, I was depressed. Like, you get, as in. And my parents actually take mental health seriously. Like, it's not, you know. So I think at that point, she realized I was depressed. And but still no solution. So it's good and fine. Yeah, he's depressed, blah, blah, blah. He's going through therapy. This is happening, that is happening. But how do you get out of that is the question now. Right. So randomly, I think it was during a half term, my mom was like, that everybody in the house is going to do a disability test or whatnot. My dad, I'm like, what is this woman talking about? What did you mean disability test? So we go. And we do it, right? I have my full, do the full test with, it was in London, half term. I went back to London. I don't think I stayed in Shrewsbury for any half term throughout my 5 years. So we're in London. And after a few days, we come back to get the diagnosis, right? So when the doctor tells you, this is that, this is what the test should, blah, blah, blah. Full booklet like this, that you go and digest. So, the guy said I'm dyslexic. Me, do I know what dyslexia is? I'm like,
you know what dyslexia was at the time.
I mean, I knew what dyslexia was, but like, I just didn't know. I just didn't know like what it entailed, right? So it was kind of like, yeah. So when the guy said it, I started tearing up. Like, do you get, at that time, I was just really like, I bottled up a lot. I was getting tired. Like, it's kind of. The smallest thing related to what I was going through could make me like just really emotional, right? So I started tearing up and it was kind of like, yeah. And my mom was asking me, why am I crying? Blah, blah, blah. Like, this is a revelation. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it was only after I had like settled down that I was like, come, this is actually a good thing because like, this kind of now explains why.
Yeah, it all makes sense. Yeah.
It all makes sense now. You get like, as in, I'm not deaf, like, you get what I mean? Like, it all makes sense now, like, as in, I've been going through this because of this, school is not going well because of this, I wasn't getting the appropriate support because obviously, like, I didn't know I was dyslexic, what else, extra time, and another thing I forgot to mention, I rarely finished my papers, which should have been, like, kind of a ticker, right, like, or, oh, come, bro, why didn't you finish your papers, that kind of thing, or, but I guess I wasn't like really self-aware at the time. I wasn't really like self-conscious in that sense. So yeah. So at that point, coping, when they give you this kind of diagnosis, right, they would give you like coping mechanisms and stuff to kind of deal with what you're going through, kind of like level the playing field, if that makes sense. So I got extra time. I got rest breaks with my tests. I even forgot after my AS physics. Let me just go back to my AS physics. I finished my AS physics exam. I'd not go. To be fair, that paper was a really hard paper because the A boundary for that paper was like 50.
Wow.
Or something.
Wow, 50.
Yeah, it was a really hard paper. Boundary for like 50 or something. Yeah, if I remember properly. So I was in the exam hall. This woman says, "Is it 15 minutes remaining?" And I'm just like, I have not gone through half of this paper. What does she mean, 15 minutes remaining? And the teardrop just drops.
Drops. I feel like those people in the exam room that announce 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour, they're ups. Because I can see, I can't read.
You can see that my muscles are sweating.
So, yeah, like, at that point, so I go, and I go and meet Devola, right? And I put my, like, I don't say anything. I walk into the room. She knows I've just had an exam. I walk into the room. As in, there is, I don't say anything. I just sit down staring. As I'm staring at the ceiling. And tears just start rolling down from my eyes. you know when you dip to your future and you're just like, oh, this future looks too bright. you know what I'm saying? At the time, it was kind of like, yeah. So I got the diagnosis. Fast forward back to after my diagnosis. And I started implementing like coping mechanisms in school. Like I also had to do a test in school to actually confirm that I'm dyslexic. It's kind of crazy because, as in, what do they think I forced?
Somebody has already said that.
You know what I mean? So, test came out, yeah, dyslexic. So I started getting extra time. My grades started improving. Did my December exams, and that's what they used as my predictions. But even before that, right, I had several meetings with like the vice president of academics and stuff like that, where they would advise me on what unit I should apply to. Because like I was still like taking the engineering route, like that one was already set. Yeah, at this point you can't back out.
Yeah.
So they suggested, you know, I got like a lot of negativity, I can't lie, like in terms of, I just felt like they were indirectly saying, no, don't shoot for the stars anymore. Like, you can't hit the stars. Like, you get what I mean? Your mid-level, that kind of thing. So they suggested some unis, like, to me. I can't remember off the top of my head exactly. There were a few ones, good ones in there, I can't lie. There was St. Andrews, which is a pretty good school for engineering, but it's in Scotland. And I told my parents, I didn't want to leave England. So I was like, that's out of the question. It's a good school, but I'm not going there. Like, as I said earlier, like, I wanted my uni experience, my vision, my vibes, and I'll be a serious student, but like, I have to enjoy it. Like, I don't want 3 years, you don't want to be in a place where, like, I don't want to go through what I've just been through again. You get what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, also, another thing that really helped me through depression was like my faith. Like, I guess, yeah, God was there for me, man. Like, you get what I mean? My family, my dad, kind of, when I got my diagnosis, like, not my parents, like, my parents, like, okay, cool. It was actually working. This is what the issue is. And the tone changed from, you're not working hard enough to just do your best. Anything you bring back, we'll take it.
No.
Okay, so it's kind of like...
See, that's what I love about Nigerian parents. Like, they like to do hard guys. But deep down...
Yeah, so
like, yeah. They could see that you were putting in the work.
Yeah.
It's because my mom was actually there. Like, I'm saying my life was go to school, come back, study, sleep. Go to school, come back, study, sleep. So she was seeing it. So at this point, it's not, he's not putting the work again. Do you get what I mean? So, yeah. What was that? Where did I stop?
You were talking about how they stopped telling you to. They started giving me other uni suggestions. Maybe you should.
Exactly. So... at that point, they gave me a few good unis, right? Like, that was their version of shoot for it. You can still aim high, right? Mm. You know what I mean? But, like, there were lots of unis that, as in, I was just like, come on now. Like, is this what you, as in, what are you guys trying to say now?
Yeah.
So, ended up applying to, my top two were QMUL and LOF. QMUL decent for engineering. London as well. So God works in mysterious ways. Like, you see, London wasn't completely out of the question. So QMUL, LOF, and I applied to BIRMS as well. I got rejected from BIRMS. They didn't call me like for an interview. But in hindsight, right, like, it's kind of, I'm grateful because I've been BIRMS once in my whole uni thing, and it was for rocks. Like, I don't think I'd have been able to read in that city. So my top two were Loughborough and QMUL. Going into A levels, we just started brightening up. Like, my head was back up, that kind of thing, morale back up. I was a lot more engaged, like, with my friends. Like, I'd more in touch with my feelings. Like, I was able to kind of open up a bit more, like, and yeah, kind of, I still wasn't able to speak about like what I went through because it was still fresh, and like at this point I'm your brother again, so I'm back in school full flow. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I still wasn't able to kind of open up and kind of talk about like everything that happened. But yeah, I guess results day came. I did my A-levels. Felt good about my A-levels. Not even going to lie. I was calm. I suffered from anxiety as well. So in exams back then, AS time, even a bit during GCSEs, but I had panic attacks Like, I used to have panic attacks in and out of the exam hall. And it used to get so bad, like, your chest feels so tight, you can't even breathe, right? Like, so it was one of them ones. So didn't have any of those throughout A-levels, thank God. Like, I just generally felt, like, good. And you get, like, by the time, as in, I know I've worked hard, and my parents are kind of like, okay, whatever you bring back, we'll take it, like, 100% behind you. That kind of thing. It's kind of reassuring. It's, I guess it was, it's that push that you need, right? My dad also came to view like unis with me. Like he came from night to go to my offer holders days, like in the various unis. And so yeah, I guess that was pretty that was a big thing for my mentor as well. And he came to love. And I remember telling him, see, that like London is it too. Like, see, we already have yard here, like and you get like London. I'm used to London, like my guys, a lot of my guys are going to be London, even guys from the older years, right? That were my guys when in unis in a lot of them were unis in London. So I was like, this is to that, blah blah blah. Went to see the school. QMU have decent like engineering facilities, but then when we now came to LOF, right? Once we drove into campus. My dad was like, this is easy too. Yeah, like, this is easy too. So, yeah, great campus. Like, everything is close. Like, you're kind of catered to an extent, or catered for rather, to an extent in LOF as well. At least the outcomes I chose, right? The engineering facilities, top. And we're top five at the time. I think we still are top five.
When you go to LOF Bro on the train, you just see a big poster. LOF Bro University, yes. Top five in the I'm like, okay, guys.
So yeah, like at that point, I was still kind of caught in between, okay, cool, London, LOF. But at some point, I was just like, and another thing my dad kept saying is, see, like, London is always going to be there. You can even come weekends. As in, if you want a breather, leave LOF, come to, and it's sharp. Like, it's an hour 30 minutes max. Like, you get, so it shouldn't be a deciding factor in terms of if you're going to have your uni education here in London. So I started like training my mind, kind of like getting used to the idea of, okay, I might be in LOF for the next 3 years. This as it might be where I do uni for the next 3 years. And yeah, like I was completely fine with that at the point. So did that, results day came, going to LOF. It was cool because like I knew a couple of guys here, but they were graduating. I've known Irumi since 2006. 15 maybe.
You want to do shout out to Irumi as well?
Shout out to Irumi. So throughout that level time when communication and all that, bro, like how your exams go, that kind of thing. I was still seeing love for B. Both of us, I think when we got our results, we hit each other up. So we already knew, said, okay, I have one guy coming here. Who else? Fola, my guy Fola. Shout out to Fola. So we did it levels together. I knew he was coming here as well. So that's, you get, so like I'd already, you get, already knew like guys I was comfortable here with, like comfortable with coming here. So it wasn't, I didn't feel too like scared or anxious about, and I feel like I'm a bit of a social butterfly, so I can make friends, right? So I wasn't so like anxious about making friends and stuff like that. So yes, so that's it. Getting into uni, like,
wow, uni has... okay. Uni time. First of all, I think we just want to say thank you for actually sharing that story with us and being vulnerable with us, because it's not easy.
It's not
but easy. Then I guess it's good that you can laugh about it now.
It's good that I can even talk about it now, because like,
it's good that you can even talk
for
about
the longest
it
like I just the wouldn't
gross
you know gross. You know.
Okay, yeah. So now looking to the bright side, how's uni been, LOF Bro?
Yo, uni. So I finished at the end of the month. I've got
that's so crazy
exams. That's my wild. First one is in, what's the date? It's the 11th. The first one is in like 20 days or 90 days. That's crazy. I see me so now. I'm under pressure, but but yeah.
They're pressing you.
Yeah, like uni has been, it's been a great experience. Like a lot of like wins, a lot of losses, but like the losses, you just have to charge the losses to the game. Like it's part of the game. Like you get what I mean? So yeah, I'd say first year I came in to uni and academically I was already like I have to smash it here. You get me? Like, good and fine. I want to play, but as well as playing, like, I have to be on top of stuff. Yeah. So even before I started uni, I did lessons. And I opted to do lessons. Like, nobody forced me. I just wanted to get ahead. So I did, for one of my modules, like, I'd already looked up the module. I knew I was taking this module. You'd have a bit of a background from A-levels. So I got this guy who was a master's student at the time at Quimeri, electronic engineering as well. Found him online. Can't remember the platform. And so I had like a few weeks of lessons with the guy on that module. So coming into first semester, I was already like 4 weeks ahead. Right. Wow. So like in that module and the math was, I would say four, I won't say I coasted through, like I still had to work hard, like there's coursework, there's, you get what I mean? But I was ready to work hard, you get what I mean? At that point, like from A-levels, in my head, I already registered that, look, you can't succeed without hard work, and hard work pays. So you get, that's, there's a big sign in my head that says hard work pays. So that's kind of how I've approached like life, work, for a while now. So well, work hard, play hard for me. Like there were times where my guys here in Lough, and we used to go to the library frequently, like to work, that kind of things. So after a day of school, we'll go and study, that kind of thing. There are times where there's motive that night from library. Change and out again. So I mean, like, and yeah, and I think with Lough, bro, like, because it's a campus, like first year is really when you kind of get to see, as in everybody, like make friends, that kind of thing, different motives, everybody knows everybody at that time. So yeah, like it wasn't hard to kind of even get around. It wasn't kind of hard to do like all these spontaneous motives. And I found like the motives that I didn't plan on going for are the ones that turn out to be the craziest. To be the baddest. Like,
I think even with being in the Midlands as well, because I go to Midlands Uni as well, the links are just so...
Leicester.
You can just wake up today and say, you know what? I'm going to Nottingham. And you can go to Nottingham.
Yeah,
you know what? I'm going to space and you're just there.
Yeah, I guess.
Flights.
Exactly. You guys have to go interstate and all that stuff. Yeah. And it's just long and it costs a lot as well. So, yeah, I'd say definitely. I feel like we're in a better situation than you guys.
And I mean, for me, like, because I had been in England since, so I was like, Brunei, they carried me out at year 8. And they didn't give me any warning. They just said, shh. They basically moved me from one place to another. And obviously there's GCSEs and then obviously A-levels. And being honest, like my A-levels are bad. Like I'm not a good test taker. I can't take tests, especially I don't know why for me those A-levels, like it just wasn't clicking. And
A-levels, I saw my first D, first E and all those things.
But yeah, like I didn't even have that experience. So when I applied for unis, I had to take the SATs and obviously, like, the SATs are, like, I don't know, it's just an aptitude test. Like, all that integrate why it's the factor of 3, that was nonsense. Like, yeah. I didn't need any of that jazz. So I took the SATs 3 times because in my head, like, I didn't want to make peace with the fact that, like, I was leaving everything behind. And I was going to, like, a foreign place with, like, no one I knew. Like, I didn't tour any of my schools. The school I'm in now did not tour it once. I saw the websites and that was it. But I remember when I first came, the first thing that kind of like threw me for a loop is the grading system. So in England, I was coasting, like I did DT, photography and math. And in England, like 75 is a really good grade. Guy, when I got my first 75, tears, because that's a B. And that thing drags your GPA down.
That's crazy. That's crazy, man.
That thing, and then when I first came, they obviously told me about that, like, FAST program, the IPA program, which I'm in now. And to be in that program, you have to constantly have a GPA of 3-4. So for me, like, first week of uni was when I realized, babes, we can't be coasting again. So then I actually started, like, for the first time in my life, I had to do philosophy and theology. And I was like, what the fuck is this? I was so confused. And like my first class, like the teacher was like, oh, so we all know when Socrates said, I was like, Socrates said what?
What did he say?
That's
because the American system, we talked about this before, is so like you can't just, because with the UK, once you do A level, you really start specializing, you do one thing. In America, Chidara's friend was on a few episodes ago, and she was talking about how they have to do math and English. No matter what degree you're studying, you do math, you do English, then in their school, like,
to make
well,
up your credits.
Yeah.
And with your with their specific school as well, they also have to do philosophy and theology as part of their own schools. Those are the important things that you must do. After you do those ones, then you now do your actual degree. Yeah. Math that I've not done since year
10.
No way.
Nah, for me, like, moving, it was definitely a lot. Because, like you said, like, you knew three people going to law. I didn't know anybody going to Catholic U. And thank God, well, I mean, the American system, so, like, when you sign up for housing, you can either, like, get a single, but singles are gone on the first day, or you can, like, get a roommate, and they're like, oh, do you want to choose your roommate?
The fact that Americans have roommates is also so, like, at your big age, you are sharing your uni room.
Yeah, my OP, cool. I could have shared room. I just want, okay, so before I could have shared room, because I would have shared bathroom. I was like, bathroom, sharing bathroom was a no-no for me. Like, uni especially, like, kind of like, not the one you enter bathroom one day, you don't know what you see. It's like, big. So, yeah, like, and I think my parents were on the same page, like the big pushers towards like get your own space, that kind of thing.
So but generally, would you say you guys have enjoyed uni? How's uni been? Have you enjoyed it? Would you recommend uni to a friend?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I guess
have
I mean
the highs been more than the lows.
Yeah, I definitely. Think
for,
like,
I think for me, the lows have definitely been more than the highs because. It was a new, it was a brand new start for me. Like,
when do you finish uni, Abeg?
So that's the confusing part. So I finished my undergrad in December. So by December,
the highs will be more than the lows from now to December. I just
amen.
But basically, the way the program works, it puts bachelor's, master's, and architecture licensing into 5 years. So at the end of this fall, I'll be a bachelor's in arts and architecture or whatever. And then by 2025, I'll have my master's degree and my architecture license. So by 24, I can sign off on buildings and shit like that. But yeah, it was just a lot because the system will wreck you. Like, I just went from, you know, and like, I don't know. It was a lot. Like, it still is a lot. Like, I say it's a lot, but then I have a lot on my plate. Like, I just always want to do something. So that's my own damn fault. But especially with architecture, like, I hate when people are like, oh yeah, like, don't you guys just design? No, we do not do that. Do not piss me off. Like, it's a lot more like, okay, put it in perspective. For a month, like a whole month straight, I was doing mechanical engineering plumbing, electrical plumbing plans. Like, I'd never done that in my life. I had to figure out how
to... If you guys can see Vinny's face right now, it's shocking.
Guy, I had to figure out how the AC connected to something, connected to something. Guy,
I have my degree, and if you tell me to, no, I can't do it. So where do we go from there?
Me personally, I feel like uni, I've enjoyed uni. Really happy. I think because A-levels was also like, and also in A-levels, you guys that listen might know this already, but I was literally the only Black person in my year, and I was the only Black person for a while. So when I was applying to unis, I said, what are the blackest unis in the UK? Leicester, Manchester, Nottingham. Everybody that is Black, that's where you find me. That was my own priority. Because originally I was studying medicine. Like me. That's a story for another, honestly, that's a story for another day. But originally I was studying medicine, and they were now telling me I should apply to UCLan. I said, please. Sign me up to the Black. So honestly, I've had a blast. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I would say I've had a blast, like, socially as well. But academically and, like, just, like, personal growth-wise, I mean, like, uni has just been... As I was telling Anu, like, before the episode, that if anyone told me, like, a few years ago, you're going to be here right now, everything that's happened, like, in the last 3 years, right... As in what's going to happen. I'd be like, what are you talking about? are you talking about? But like, I mean, personal growth. I'd say leadership for one. Like, I was NSOC president. But that was during COVID. I would do collabs with what's it called? Leicester NSOC. I think that's how we started talking. And so we did a collab, Valentine's Day collab on Clubhouse. That's when Clubhouse was popping.
Oh my
so
god,
I think I think I turned out was pretty decent. What did you say?
I said I was well being officer at that time.
Yeah, so like, I turned out was pretty decent for that event. Like, we had a couple of other events. I mean, because it was COVID time, I don't want to sell myself short and say, like, I fell short of my own expectations, but I guess my hands were tied in the sense that there wasn't a lot that I could have done in that period because of COVID and everything. Like, it was hard to get access to funds from the uni, even sponsorship. The one sponsorship we even got, right? We couldn't even sign the contract, right? But I mean, it's on record that I secured a sponsorship. We couldn't. Oh, I think I signed the contract, right? I definitely signed that contract, but somehow that deal just didn't materialize because of the COVID situation and everything. We also got this partnership with this student-led body within our uni called AIM Network. So it was kind of a mentorship scheme. So got that, did a careers event. So I guess, yeah, I wouldn't say I feel like I could have done a bit more or achieved more as NSOC president, but I definitely wouldn't sell myself short. Yeah. I think I did a decent job given the circumstances. During COVID time, I had a lot of time to like think, do a bit of research into what I wanted to do. Cause I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm doing well. Like, my degree is going fine. But I'm not particularly, I don't want to practice engineering. So I looked into finance and I said, like, I kind of have, like, it's something I have a knack for, I guess. And I was kind of, I'm interested in. So I looked into IB, looked into asset management, started doing the applications. Really humbling process, but get straight to the point. I found out that's the space, like, I want to be in. So thankfully, I secured a job as an investment analyst at a FTSE 100 asset manager in London. So, yeah, I'm in my dream city for now.
London
has come back to me.
You know what I mean? So I guess one big thing I've learned is everything, just if you trust the process and like just keep going, like everything's going to work out how it's meant to work out for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've gone full circle right now. And coming to my third year, I did the internship that went really well. So that was summer, had fun that, as in during that summer, gonna work hard, play hard, right? Coming to third year, actually during that summer, my friend Samuel, shout out to Sam, he came to me with this like proposition to start this kind of initiative. It's called Black in Sports. Love Pro based on IG. We did big things. So essentially, like, this initiative that's meant to kind of champion the achievements of Black people in sports, because that we don't really see that these days. So we want to kind of do more of that. And we got a lot of attention from the events. The events was a major success. It was in March. We also got an award from the VC. We got an award from our uni's VC.
Those that don't know VC, Vice Chancellor.
We've got invites to a lot of events. Like, it's just been just blessed. Like, I feel like, yeah, I'm undeservedly blessed. I'm kind of like just really grateful for where I am right now. And yeah, I mean, a lot of wins, I said, like in 3 years, it's been a lot of wins. Losses here and there, but you have to charge the losses to the games.
And just kind of last thing, which you kind of touched on a bit, but like, what advice would you give, you know, yourself when you were going through all those hard times during it? There was, what advice would you tell yourself now? Just, you know,
say advice that I'll give 16, 17 year old Pune. It's kind of like, I guess, just keep going, like, as in, and also kind of look at the every experience as either a win or a learning like process. Like, don't kind of so much beat yourself up and say, oh, this is a loss or whatnot. Like, it's a chance to learn, it's a chance to grow. So I say keep going, trust the process. Like, you get there eventually. Like, don't be too hard on yourself. And yeah, I feel that's, and kind of explore. Because if I was so engineering oriented, like, I feel like I'm really passionate about finance right now. If I didn't sit down, have an open mind and decide to explore, I wouldn't be in the space I am in today. So I guess, yeah, that's it too. I feel like anybody listening to this, I hope you've been inspired. I hope if you're like in a tough situation, like I've kind of, it helps to know that you're not alone. Like, you get what I mean? As in, and you're not the only person who has gone through this. So, yeah. Shout out to you guys, anyways.
Yeah.
Thanks, Care Package, for having me.
And then just to like end off, and it was one thing you would tell yourself before you
know. What would I tell myself? This is not even related to school, but I think I would literally just tell myself, because during A levels, as I said, I was the only Black person in my school, and coming from Nigeria to a place where you're the only Black person, that can be very
jarring.
So just to remind myself that you deserve the place that you're in, like, speak up, your opinions matter, your voice matters, like, you're supposed to be there. Like, no one should ever make you feel like, you know, you're less than or you're not as smart. Like, talk to them, like, they're human beings as well. If you want to run for, you know, I don't know, head girl or whatever, not head girl, but if you want to run for prefect or whatever, do it. Like, be confident. I think that's what I would tell myself.
Yeah, and I think one thing I would tell myself, because I feel like obviously everybody in my school, when we got like UCAS, like when mocks were predicted, because I'm not going to lie, I'm going to come out and be like, Sony House was a good school, but the way we played was too much. Always out, always doing boo-boo the fool. And I think one thing that the school didn't teach us is like how to handle rejections and how to fail. And I think one thing I would tell myself now after being in uni, and like, obviously I've been through that internship process and getting the no's, I'd be like, just, like Binia said, it's a learning experience. Learn from it. Like, you grow. Don't take it. Like, it's not always you fail and full stop. Like, not always tears. Like, okay, how can we be better? How can we do this? How can we do that? Okay, guys. That's all I have for you on this episode of the Care Package Podcast. Binia, do you want them to follow you everywhere? This one, you'll be giving shout out
to. No, I beg. Go follow me. Just shout out to
my guys.
They
should follow this, though. What's the Instagram? Give us the Instagram.
The Instagram is Elboro Biss. That's LBORO and BISS. So follow Biss. We've got big things coming. More events to come. And yeah, thank you. Thank you guys for having me. This was
good. So you guys already know the drill. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Care Package Pod. If I say follow us on TikTok now, some people beat me. But I think now. So we should be coming out some content, but follow us on TikTok at The Care Package Pod. Okay, guys, that's all we have for you guys today.
Bye.
This package has been signed, sealed, and delivered. Thank you.